No Tuffley?
No, Tuffley couldn't make it. He's putting together a desk or something. Maybe that's a euphemism for something, I don't know, but...
If it is, I don't want to know.
Exactly.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
And you are listening to a needcoffee.com podcast. We told you we would be back. We warned you, and yet you're here listening anyway. If you're hearing my voice and you're not listening, then I'm not quite sure what to tell you. But we're back with another episode of the Weekend Justice bi-weekly, like we said we would be. And let's go ahead and see who's on the panel for this evening. We have, of course, Scott C., our Minister of Naughty Bits.
And yes, they are naughty.
Yes, thank you for that. Hopefully I can edit that out. We have Rob is here as well, the one minister of music that we have on hand, so we'll put the burden on him. What's up, Rob?
Hey, not much. How are you?
I'm me, so that's everything that you could possibly want to know about that question. And joining the new revamped Weekend Justice for the first time here in the Hall of Weekend Justice is the inevitable Doc Ezra, our minister of games and keeper of the foo. What's up, Doc?
Oh, man, just another week.
I'm so sorry to hear that. We're so terribly enthused. Here we are. This is broadcasting on out to people that are going to be listening to it on their way to work on Friday morning, and we sound like we've been beaten with a dead badger.
But you know, the horrible secret is they're listening to it on Friday, and we've still got three more days to get through while our week's over.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's like folks. It's like those holiday shows, especially in Britain, where they're. They're recording them, like, in July, you know, to be broadcast in December. So it's not that bad, but it's pretty close. So we do what we can with what we have.
Ooh, so that's a bad idea.
My enthusiasm fires up somewhere around 6 o'clock Friday.
Yeah. That would be p.m., obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Yes, I'm usually awake at 6 o'clock a.m. on Friday, but I'm
not
sleeping.
Yeah, I am very much not.
Yes, I know. All right, so since we last convened the Weekend Justice League, what do we have to report for ourselves? What has happened? I know that, well, the strikes ended, and again, I have to ask, does anyone care? I mean, has anything changed? Has anything? I mean, Tuffley's going to write something up for us on the site, but I mean, Doc, what have you got?
Well, I'm actually kind of disappointed I'm not going to see any more of the Conan Stewart Colbert feud played out now that they have writers again. But I did see, I don't know if anybody else caught it, Colbert is welcoming his writers back. Has anybody seen this clip?
No.
No, he brought out the entire writing staff the first day they were back and handed them all pencils and told them to get to work. But among the people he brought out as writers were Kevin Bacon and the New York Giants retired running back Tiki Barber.
Nice.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, actually,
I was just saying it's typical of Colbert. I'm continually impressed by him being just a class act, which is rare enough in that business. And funny, too, which is...
Even rarer.
Even more rare, yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying, Scott?
Well, it was the irony of it starting, the writer's strike being ended, is with the Daily Show, it seems like they're only actually going to have 2 days of new shows, and then Jon Stewart has to go away to do the Oscars. So it's like, you get 2 days, and then he's got to do stuff for like 2 weeks. So they're still going to have plenty of reruns for that show.
That seems like a hell of a trade, too.
Mm.
I mean, we were discussing last time about, you know, how we actually have some interest in some of the films that are up for Oscars, but does that mean we have to watch the actual Oscars?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, good.
That's never a requirement.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if there's anything really interesting that happens, just check it out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Seriously, distill your 4-hour bloated back padding down to 10 minutes so I can watch it in easily digestible chunks.
You know, and I would be surprised if somebody actually didn't take the Oscars and edit it down to a 10-minute chunk to put on YouTube, basically 10 minutes of everything you need to see from the Oscars.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, it would be basically the announcement of every winner, and maybe if, because generally throughout the whole show, there's like one actually cool thing that happens. Like there was that time that they did the tribute to sound effects with the folks from Stomp. I mean, I remember that. That's,
oh, yeah, that was cool.
Jack Palance,
yeah. There's usually some, you know, performance or something that, like, really kicks ass. So I figured that would take, like, 2 or 3 minutes, and the rest could be just all the winners.
The thing is, though, they were talking about when they were doing, what was it, the Golden Globes, and they did, like, the press conference instead of the, like, actual show.
Which
a lot of people were complaining because the local L.A. economy lost, like, millions because the show didn't have its usual, you know, the dresses being made, the catering, everything. The town actually lost a lot of money. So it's another take.
Yeah.
I'm having a really hard time finding a lot of sympathy in me for that one. The town made itself what it is, where it requires that kind of ridiculous, over-the-top outlay for any little thing.
Although the press conference, the televised press conference that they did basically was pretty amusing because they kept, you know, cutting back to the people for the commentary. They were like sitting off to the side in their easy chairs or whatever else like that, and it was just whoever they could scrape up to actually do the quote unquote show. So that was actually, I saw about 5 minutes of that, and that was actually pretty amusing to see it stripped of all of the hoopla and bullshit, just down to, wow, this is, like, extremely lame.
Where do we sign up for that gig? I'll sit off the red carpet on a Barca lounger and make fun of people for a couple hours.
I would love to do that, you know.
No, because then you probably have to be near, like, Joan Rivers.
Actually, you know what's funny is that, having watched a lot of British television, Joan Rivers is apparently, I don't know if she's just set up shop over there or what.
No.
I thought she was, from what I've seen of her on the show, she's been pretty damn funny on the panel shows.
Yeah.
Now, obviously on the red carpet, it could be annoying as shit because I've never seen that, but her on the panel shows, she's quick as hell, so that might not be too bad. I'd be all right with that gig.
We have that gig at DragonCon, that's what we do.
Yeah.
The only thing about her, she's essentially doing the same thing we do on a regular basis, except we critique people for a lack of substance and she critiques them for a lack of style. It's still pretty much poking holes in people that are self-important, and I can't hold too much fault with that.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes, poking holes in people is very enjoyable.
Siege would agree.
But in a different way.
Well, yeah.
But she loses points for having an absolutely hideous child. I mean, Melissa Rivers is the most obnoxious, unwatchable person on TV.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a bold claim. I know. Knowing what I know of television, even though I don't actually actually watch it. Yeah, Rob, that's a good point. Even more obnoxious than Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton, though, is so absurdly stupid that it's actually kind of funny. Like, I know she's going to walk into a door at any minute. Wait for it. Boom, there it is. Right? And to a certain extent, she knows her place in the world and plays up to it, where Melissa Rivers...
I really think she really thinks that everybody thinks she's, like, wonderful and fabulous and everything. I don't think she realized that. I don't think it really penetrates that little brain of hers.
I don't know. I don't think she would have taken a part in House of Wax knowing that everyone in the world was going to go see the film just to watch her get cagged if she took herself too seriously. So I don't know.
Well, I don't think she... Well, that was one of the things. It was, I think it was Tina Fey. She was on, like, Howard Stern talking about Paris Hilton on Saturday Night Live. And she had this idea that everybody had a wonderful time, but, you know, everybody was saying, never have her on again. Never, ever, ever. So I don't know how self-aware she really is.
We may never know.
No, why are we talking about her? Move on.
Yes, please.
So, the other thing that's happened is, Rob, I know that you posted a reaction to Amy Winehouse and the Grammys.
Yeah.
Did you have any other thoughts on the Grammys? I'd be fascinated to know what they are if you have any.
Well, I pretty much followed Doc's lead, and I just pretty much didn't watch the Grammys and just waited till the next day because I knew all the stuff would be posted.
Right.
And, you know, to a certain extent, it's cool to see Kanye West win as many as he won because in terms of production and in terms of the craft of making records, he kind of follows more of the Motown school of making records, like people used to make records. So that's kind of cool. Amy Winehouse is great just because, in many ways, you know, it's nice to see someone who everyone is sort of like just ready to not let win. So that was pretty cool. And the fact that they saved themselves, I mean, they should have, it would have been like a train wreck had she actually gone to the ceremony, because she would have, like, just trashed the place. It would have been great. But I think having her in London, far off, kind of actually probably saved most of the proceedings from turning into sort of a circus. But, yeah, outside of that, I can't think of anything, you know, really outstandingly memorable about the Grammys. Most people just tend to say, okay, the Grammys, they're on. And if you're into a particular artist, then they're great to watch. But if you're just a fan of music in general, I think you tend to just sort of grin and bear it and move on.
So when do you think Amy Winehouse is going to die?
Well, you know...
This is the thing. The reason I say that is because she won Best New Artist.
Yeah?
Ooh.
And as we all know, getting Best New Artist at the Grammys is the curse.
But Britney Spears didn't die yet.
Well, now...
She got Best New Artist?
It's not a death curse. It's more of a career death curse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but considering all the stuff she's doing...
Fatalities? I don't know how many actual fatalities.
No, I mean... Well,
and honestly, as much as people talk about it, she's not doing anything different than the rest of them are. She's just more unabashed about it.
Yeah.
They're all completely out of their minds, and most of them have drinking problems or drug problems or whatever, and frankly, who cares? They're musicians. We sort of expect that at this point.
Yeah. I actually find her blatant swearing, being drunk, and walking around on crack much more refreshing than watching Bono sit up there and bloat and be pretentious for 2 hours. It's much more enjoyable to watch, and it seems much more interesting.
I agreed.
Yeah,
well, there's that. Now, the reason I say when she's going to die is just like whatever. I think the curse would just find it easier that way than cooking up some other way to destroy her career.
Oh, no, because the one thing the press loves more than a fall from grace is somebody coming up from the bottom. So now she's been famous and hit the gutter, and when she works her way back up, it'll be like, oh, she's back, and she's healthy, and she's not in rehab, and they'll love that. It'll be the record after the next one that tanks, because she'll have a rebound record, and then everything will go to hell after that.
Or she'll pull a McGowan and she will teeter on the brink of oblivion for 30 years and people will stop waiting for the comeback.
Now, you see, that's what someone should do. Someone should put Shane McGowan and Amy Winehouse on the same record. That would be awesome.
I'd love to hear it. That would be awesome.
They might tear a hole in reality.
Even better.
They'd have to hide the bar, though.
It might hasten about the death watch that Scott's on, though. He doesn't have a great track record with his co-recorders.
Well, what was it? Somebody said that, don't remember if they had actually asked Keith Richards for his opinion on Amy Winehouse, because anytime somebody seems to binge, they seem to go to Keith Richards, like, because he is like the minister of overdoing it, and yet somehow he survived. And wasn't it Keith? Didn't he say, "Oh yeah, she really needs to tone it down"? Which, you know.
Yeah, I think it was.
Which is kind of like, wow, if Keith Richards is telling you to tone it down.
And I think too, who's the guy, not Nikki Sixx, who's the other guy from that was married to Pamela Anderson? Tommy Lee. I think Tommy Lee, I saw something with Tommy Lee describing her as a mess, and I thought that was awesome.
Wow.
You know, when Tommy Lee realizes you need to cry for help, then you know it's over.
Yeah. Right. I think she was on an episode of Never Mind the Buzzcocks, which was just, it was a fascinating performance. Yeah.
She'll end up on one of those Surreal Life ones. The other person she should end up with.
Rehab.
She should be on a show with Flavor Flav. That would be great. They could, like, drive cross country and have a buddy movie.
Wow. I might actually watch that.
Instead of the writer's strike, we've put Flavor Flav and Amy Winehouse in a car. How will they do? And just send them off.
And it'd be the remake of Death Race 2000. To see how many pedestrians they hit.
Or Duel.
Yeah.
That's actually great. I might try to find financing for that. That's fucking awesome. You can almost do a 24/7 webcam in the car.
Well, I want points up front.
You would.
Exactly.
Okay. Other things that we should talk about. Do you guys, and I bring this up because some of our three listeners might not know this, but every so often we have certain pages on the site that are extremely popular, and we're not quite sure why. But
Hangman's Curse.
Yeah, your review of
Chris Angel.
The Chris Angel, but the most frightening one, I think, is our DVD review of Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah,
it's still going strong.
Yeah, oh, it's still going strong. There's something like 200-some-odd comments on there, most of which are left by people who think that they're leaving a message for Dog. And I've literally had to go onto that page and remove people's phone numbers and email addresses that they leave there out in the wild of the Internet, thinking that somehow we're Dog so that Dog can call or contact them.
Why?
I don't know, but the reason I mention that is just to lay the groundwork for asking if you guys have heard that Dog has his show back.
Wow, the masses are asses.
Is it still A&E?
Yeah, still A&E.
Jesus,
that's a bold decision on their part.
Well, the problem that they had, of course, was that it was this hugely popular show. Now, what it's going to be now that it's back is anyone's guess, but, I mean, he's done the whole, as I understand it, he's done the circuit doing the mea culpas. So, you know.
Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton.
Well, I don't know if he's, like, actually gone down the full checklist, but, you know.
I just want to know when we get our Congressional Oversight Committee into Dog.
What?
We're busy harassing baseball players because they, shock and awe, used steroids, and nobody's bothering Dog yet?
Well, technically, all the shit he does is still legal.
Well, technically, everything the baseball players do is legal. It's just against the rules of baseball.
Taking a controlled substance is legal?
Is there really a thin line, though, between Barry Bonds and Dog? I mean, really. They could be in a buddy TV show and drive across country. That could be the next one.
They could be in the Duel remake and the semi chasing Flavor Flav and Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And you could do a split screen and show the cabs of both vehicles.
Now, what I want to know is, how is he getting along with his son? Because it was his son that sold that recorded phone conversation to the media.
Yes, that's right.
I want to know what happened with that.
I'd like to say I do, but I so don't care.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to actually, like, bother researching.
I'm with Doc. I don't care, and I wouldn't even be surprised if the whole thing was orchestrated by someone that was really smart and just said, you know, for a while it's going to hurt, but your comeback's going to be huge.
You know,
that's the kind of cynicism I'm looking for. Go Rob.
Because remember, white trash America will buy anything.
Well, that's the problem. That's why you shouldn't give white trash money.
Yeah.
Hence the Spears people.
They Spear people? What?
You know, Britney and one that got pregnant and all that other crap.
Yes. Although the best part, that to me, though, is more, you know, there's a fine line between comedy and tragedy at times, and the fact that, is it Jamie Lynn? Is that the sister? I don't even know why I'm asking you. I just...
I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You are the Minister of Music. So
is she one of the Olsen twins? No.
I don't know.
Is one of them a musician?
I wasn't aware there were two of them.
She's the one that wears the shirt that says, Not Britney.
But it doesn't help
anymore.
She's
going to have to get a bigger size.
But no, the fact that she was... we learned that she was pregnant around the same time that it was learned that their mom had a book deal for a book on parenting.
That's awesome.
That, to me, is high comedy.
With the foreword by Dog.
Dog actually could probably have some down-to-earth tips. I mean, doesn't he have, like, 31 kids or something?
Acknowledged.
Do you think the mom had, like, the two kids, like, on a stopwatch?
Dog Will Hunt. What?
Do you think the mom had, like, the stopwatch, okay, like, start now to make sure she'd be pregnant, to get that added bit of publicity?
Well, there's no publicity. I mean, the book deal got canned because they...
Well, they canceled it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you get one daughter in rehab and the other one knocked up at 16, you lose your parenting book deal.
But that would be great to read, though.
Well, the problem is the demographic for that book can't read, so therefore you're in trouble.
That's right. So they've just switched to the audio-only version.
Yeah.
Read by Jeff Foxworthy.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
I would love to see Flavor Flav go into voiceover work. Actually, you know what? That probably would have been a better choice for playing Cobra Commander in the new movie.
Oh, who's playing it?
I heard Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I'm waiting for the audiobook of the Bible read by Flavor Flav. I think that would be great.
That's even better than the James Earl Jones one.
Keep those letters coming, folks.
Let my people go, yo.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, just the Last Supper with the yeah boy just takes on a whole new context of. Sorry.
Oh.
I could sit now with like Biggie and Tupac and.
That hurts me somewhere in my mind.
Aren't they all dead?
Ice Cube.
Oh, he's not.
His career is though, so kind of the same thing.
Oh, now he had a terrible family movie just a year ago.
Wait a minute! I thought those terrible family movies were still making money.
Probably.
Well, before Tyler Perry came along, I think they were making money.
Yeah. But no, it's. I think at this point he would be getting the scripts that neither Steve Martin nor Eddie Murphy want to do. Or Martin Short. Actually,
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Has Martin made a movie this century?
He was in the last Santa Claus movie.
Oh.
Which, you know...
I can't imagine how that one slipped my mind.
Well, no, I mean, I hate to say it, but I actually saw the trailer and wanted to see it just for him because he looked like he would be great because, I mean, he is Martin Short.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, but it's Tim Allen.
Yeah, I know.
True.
But I can, you know...
I mean, Martin Short is great, but no, there's no counteracting Tim Allen.
Although, talk about the person who's the A-list for family films.
He hasn't met one he wouldn't debase himself for.
Well, but they all make money. That's the thing.
Yeah,
well,
yes, but we've never held that as a valid criteria.
No, I know, but I'm just saying as far as, it makes sense why they're still doing them and why he's still doing them is that they're making money. I mean...
Oh, sure.
If people weren't going to see them, then...
I mean, if dignity's not a consideration, don't let anything stop you.
Yeah. I always thought it was because they have no gag reflex.
So that's how people get into porn, Scott. That's...
After making these movies, I mean, how do you just start throwing up? I mean, it's like...
That's why they pay you so well.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, there was a point at which I thought that if it got too bad, I would just start writing, you know, romance fiction under a pen name. The first name would be Frida, you know, Frida something, and just write romances.
Right on. Anybody wants to pay me $1 million to be in a movie opposite Tim Allen, tell me where to sign.
Yeah, seriously. I'm fine with it. Yeah, Doc, I would love to see you in a movie opposite Tim Allen.
Another sequel to our buddy movie Across Country Road Trip series.
If we got Flavor Flav and Amy Winehouse in the car, we've got Dog and who was it in
Barry
the,
Bonds.
Yeah, Barry Bonds in the semi. I would put you, Doc, and Tim Allen in the crop duster a la North by Northwest, and you're buzzing them.
Works for me.
I think it would be great.
Make me lower. I think I've got a clear shot through the windshield.
that's the cliffhanger for the hour-long trailer that they play during the 20 in cinemas around the country. Shit, we gotta go home. That starts in an hour. I gotta see that. Doc sniping on television again. Let's go.
And this time it's not on CNN.
Oh. That could be taken the exact wrong way.
I'd give Jack Thompson something to talk about where he might actually be right for once. You know. Saw that Jackass got his face on TV again this week.
Oh, he did?
Actually, I guess it was the end of last week.
Yeah, well...
Northern Illinois business. Because anybody under the age of 30 who shoots anybody ever did it because Counter-Strike is a murder simulator. Them's the rules. And I really just... I just want to scream at this guy... That game, of all the examples you're going to pick, I realize he's not, you know, being bothered to keep up unless it's Grand Theft Auto, but Counter-Strike? Really? I played that game on a 486. That game's ancient. I realize they've done an update, but I don't think he knows that. I'm pretty sure that the modern killer in training is going with something at least released on the 360. That's all I'm saying.
My thing is like, you get some kid, you give him a gun, and then he says, well, where's the A button?
Huh?
Well, I mean, like, all they talk about all these games and shooters and stuff, like, these kids are trained on controllers. If they give them an actual gun, it's like, you know, where's the A button? Where's, you know...
No, seriously. Never mind that if I could aim as well as I can on a, you know, console shooter, I'd be making fortune as a hitman right now.
Yeah, there's no easy setting.
No, exactly, and it takes, you know, one, maybe two bullets to kill you in the real world. But, you know, these are people who, Thompson, I love it, his tagline, you know, when they throw his name up on CNN, is like, school shooting expert, and he's...
School shooting expert?
School shooting expert. His qualifications for this basically seem to consist of being a on-the-verge-of-being-disbarred Florida attorney who brings frivolous lawsuits.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm so proud
of my state.
What's that?
I'm so proud of my state.
I'll be prouder when they do disbar him. We'll see.
We'd just like to point out to everyone that Scott C. is here representing the entire state of Florida.
So otherwise known as God's Waiting Room.
Please.
No, that's South Florida.
Is that a band yet? Because that's a great name for a band. God's Waiting Room. I like that a lot.
They're good death metal.
No, I'm in North Florida, all the rednecks.
So, if for all complaints for Scott C. about Florida, please send care of British Airways.
All complaints
from Jack Thompson, who Googles his name, I suspect, religiously, can be directed straight to me.
You know, based on Jack Thompson being a school shooting expert, given the credentials that you've laid out for him, I would be fascinated to know what the four of us could declare ourselves experts of if we use that same criteria.
Well, we already say we're experts on pop culture, so...
Well, does this...
Yeah, but we actually have some credentials in that arena.
But when he says school shooting expert, the first thing I would think of is that he's an expert at going out and shooting schools, because it's...
Yeah, it makes him sound like a marksman.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it sound like...
Oh, he could be a... That could be good. A school shooting consultant. You know, talking to the kids through, you know, making sure you got the exits covered, things of ammo.
Now, we don't want this podcast to be seen as a blueprint for, you know, crime, Scott.
No.
Yes.
No.
No, but see, for me, when you say shooting schools, I think of, like, putting an entire school into a large slingshot. or maybe even a
trebuchet?
Yes, exactly.
I know some engineers.
Yeah. Well, you saw that the Daily Kicksplode Man of the Year last year was the guy who set pianos on fire and launched them from a huge trebuchet, so we know people.
And that guy is still awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I'm wondering what you do after pianos, though.
I think he tried to launch a car. To
orchestra. Orchestra? Entire orchestra.
Oh, no.
He started, like, the small ones, like Providence and, you know, Columbus. And then you go up to the big time, like London, New York, and...
Or just John Williams.
At least take Cayman first. I mean, out of
those
things Williams did right.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is great. The last podcast, we were trying to find our footing, and now that we've found our footing, we're discussing school destruction.
And launching John Williams out of a trebuchet.
Launching John Williams out of a trebuchet. Not to mention putting a bunch of celebrities, and I include you in that, Doc, into vehicles so they can try to kill each other. Where are our minds? That was rhetorical.
Yeah, I wasn't going to answer it.
Yes, good. All right, well, now we should probably do our standard 35-minute wrap-up here. Yeah, Doc was listening to the last one and said, I love how you said we need to wrap up and then soldiered on for another 15 minutes. But that's how we are. That's why we're so caffeinated.
Well, it also helps, too, because we don't have a Dragon Con guy standing there pointing at a watch.
Yeah, that's holding up five fingers.
Yeah. So we just ignore blissfully.
Yes.
Poor Lee.
That's who we launched from a trebuchet.
Who, Lee?
No,
Lee's
nice.
Like Lee.
No, we like Lee, but the other people at the cons, it's like, stand there and tell you have 5 minutes. Like, be quiet. We're more exciting than Eric Estrada. Shut up.
Now, I think that should be the new website.
Speaking of old 80s crap.
More exciting than Eric Estrada.
Yeah, old 80s. Did anybody catch the Knight Rider thing?
No.
But which?
The new Knight Rider movie.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either.
Well, considering that they... Bailey watched some of it and informed me that it was not... they didn't bring anything new to the table, whereupon I reminded him that, considering that when they tried to bring something new to the table, a la Knight Rider 2000, 2010, and Team Knight Rider, it still sucked. It's pretty much guaranteed that they have no idea what to do with that property, so...
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I think I said, because I actually reviewed some of the Knight Rider discs, and I really wanted them to release 2010. That was the crazy post-apocalyptic Knight Rider, we're using the title because we own it type of thing. You know, kind of like iRobot.
Or iSpy.
Well, speaking of remade TV properties, so we can get the hell away from Knight Rider with all haste.
Yes.
Has anybody else seen the trailer for the Max Smart Get Smart movie?
I am going to reverse popular opinion here and think that it may actually be funny.
With Steve Carell, yeah. I'll give it the benefit of that doubt.
Same here.
And the only trailer I've seen for it is, I think, like maybe a minute spot. I think it's actually just 30 seconds of him rising up in the phone booth and not being able to get out of it.
Yeah.
And that's funny.
Yes, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it can be done. It can be done. The thing is...
Well, the rest of the cast on that flick was pretty impressive, as I recall.
I think The Rock will be funnier than people think he's going to be.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw him on Friday Night Live. He's funny.
Yeah, and
anybody that saw him as a gay show tune singing...
oh, yeah, that was awesome. Yes.
Bodyguard. What? I can't even remember what the hell movie that was.
Yeah, but
he did that on Friday Night Live, too.
Yeah, I actually like The Rock a lot, and I just think he needs to fire his agent.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good pick, yeah.
Yeah.
And threw him so
But instead of making The Rock a whole new agent, I wish he would have been the agent that kept getting stuck in, like, all the small spaces. That would have been great. You know, is it the Hal Ketchum role or whatever, the guy who's, like, stuck in, like, the bowling locker, and then he's stuck in, like, the laundromat, or the laundry machine or whatever? That would be funnier with The Rock than just making him a whole new character, but that's all right.
But with here we go, Bill Murray, Terrence Stamp, Alan Arkin, Anne Hathaway. I'll give that movie the benefit of the doubt.
Now, who's Bill Murray playing in it? Do we know?
Bill Murray is Agent 13.
Oh, that's awesome. And then is Terrence Stamp going to be Siegfried, or is he just the bad guy?
He's Siegfried.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
It's nice casting. See, that's the crazy thing, is that you have all of these... people always talk... The law of relative development demands that these things happen. It's just... It's a law of physics that these things must happen. And people can debate me on this, but they would be wrong. I urge them to go out and form the same opinion on their own. But it doesn't mean that they have to be bad. That's the thing, is that it's really easy to bring just a little bit of newness to properties and make them good. I mean, you know, Scott, I posted it. I think you saw this on the over at our friends at the Unique Geek, the Weekend
Unique
Justice
Geek.
Society, as they were. Yes, at UniqueGeek.com. And they have a new URL, right? UniqueGeekPodcast.com or something, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So they're kind of, like, expanding. But no, I posted over on their groups, because they're a bunch of comic geeks and they read it more than I do, about, you know, the Red Hulk that they've got now. And I just absolutely love that. First of all, I saw the press release from Marvel where they said, okay, well, we're in USA Today discussing the Red Hulk, and we've got a preview of, like, six pages of Hulk number two, you know. And Jeff Loeb basically said, you know, we're doing something that is completely different from the Green Hulk. Red Hulk is this, you know, calculating, thinking, shrewd, weapon-toting badass. And I'm instantly sitting there thinking...
You mean like Grey Hulk?
Well, no, not even that. It's just, didn't we just have World War Hulk, which featured a Green Hulk that was a shrewd, calculating, weapon-toting bastard who had come to kick everyone's ass?
Yes.
You know,
yes, we did.
Yes, we did. It's just like, there's nothing wrong with ignoring a storyline, but just be careful how you put it in interviews, because it makes you look like a fucking idiot. You know? I mean, it's one thing if it was a storyline that was like, you know, one issue that was during the Silver Age, and then we'd be like, okay, we forgive you because, you know, we even forgot that, you know. Maybe Mark Waid remembered it, maybe, but we did not. But that just happened. In fact, that was the whole storyline just before you came on board. So I don't know.
It's completely different, though, man. He's red.
Yeah, well, I know.
Unless you're colorblind.
You know, what I think I responded by saying when I saw it, like, you know, it's just whoever makes their toys wanted something new, so they figured, okay, red. And they figured they could save money on the making a new mold.
Well, and Scott, like we were discussing, they do have a big-ass Hulk movie coming out, which actually looks like it might be decent, wherein said Hulk is green. So when you consider the main Hulk title has been taken over by Hercules, and your Hulk title, your new Hulk title, is now he's red.
And Hulk is, like, stuck in prison somewhere.
Well, Bruce Banner is, unless he's the Hulk. We don't know. We don't care either, but But no, you have to wonder who exactly comes up with these ideas, and does anyone ever talk to anyone else in these companies?
It's like, well, it harkens back to the I guess mostly 60s and maybe early 70s era of the like palette swap Batman, where it's, oh no, it's Rainbow Batman this month and Zebra Batman next month. There was like an entire run of these things where it was basically Batman's costume changed colors and it made him a criminal. Chris on the ISB is a big fan of all of them. He had the Zebra Batman on not too terribly long ago.
I read that recently and it was genius. But
maybe it's all Steranko's doing. He's back.
I don't know. But anyway, I wonder about these things. And then I wonder why I wonder, because I don't really read comics anymore when I can help it, because they're such shit. And Why the Last Man just ended, so there's one less comic that I need to go buy.
Actually, and one that's I can finally look forward to reading in trade.
Yes.
Actually, that's interesting. That might be the subject. One of the Unique Geek people, Michael Bailey, has a his own podcast called These from Lombok.
Yes, indeed, and he was pimping us on there.
Well, yes, because I said so.
I gave him a big manly hug for.
Yes. Well, I told him to, so that he did it.
Oh, good.
Well, no, the thing is, he mentioned, I think, on that podcast, you know, I should have Scott C. on there. I said, oh, okay, what do we talk about? It's like, and he said, well, what comics do you read? And I was thinking about it. I was like, I hardly read any of the mainstream stuff. You know, I was like Warren Ellis and all this stuff. Like, you know, that might be the topic is, you know, mainstream versus, you know, stuff that's sort of off the beaten track. So that could be an interesting discussion.
Yes. A discussion for another time, on perhaps another podcast, even.
Well, exactly.
Yes, on somewhere else, the podcast universe, all these crossovers. Okay, well, because I know we're running long, because we do, let's run around real quick, and if everyone has something that they would like to throw out, because remember, our three listeners are if they're very sad people, are looking to us to help guide them as to what they should consume over the weekend. So, Scott, do you have something that you would like to share with them?
Actually, I do. There
oh,
is
good.
A... What?
I said, oh, good.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Now, there's this great book out that I'm just about to buy. It's called Charlatan. It's about a medical doctor who came up with this new technique of revitalizing men through goat testicles.
Hello.
And he actually ran for governor of Kansas in 1930, and he almost won. So it sounds like...
on a platform of goat testicles?
Not sure about that, but he just sounds like one of those people that if he didn't exist, you had to make him up.
Yeah, apparently so.
I don't think I'd have to make that up. I think I could go without. I mean,
well, the thing
that,
is also, he had one of these big border blaster radio stations back in the 20s that was like on the side of Mexico, mm-hmm. and then had like 100,000 watts to broadcast call across America. And he actually premiered a lot of early country western music. So he's just like one of those really weird people in history that you find, it's like, wow, why didn't they talk about this in class?
Because
this I want to pay
goat
attention
testicles.
To.
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the goat testicles, metaphorically speaking.
But, yeah, goat testicles.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Scott, for... I literally kind of zoned out for a second, and then goat testicles, and then I was right back here on planet Earth. Which
you went to a happy place.
It was kind of startling, I must admit. Okay. Wow.
What did you expect?
I didn't expect goat testicles, that's for damn sure.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
no one
even,
expects... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll come in again.
Here's your bowling trophy. So, Doc, you've just been elected to go next. You get to follow goat testicles.
No.
You
yay.
Poor bastard.
I'll stick to the Game Rex this week. Lost Odyssey hit this week, which is the latest from the guys Mist Walker Studios, largely comprised of people that made a bunch of the early Final Fantasy games. It ships on four DVDs for the 360. Probably clocks in well over 100 hours if you give it all the time it can take, which for $60 is about as good as you can do for your game entertainment dollar. And I'm trying to think if there's anything out on DVD this week I'm particularly keen on. I know the Jet Li and Jason Statham movie hit
the War.
Some of the hits, yeah, the War. I don't know if the DVD's out. I've seen it on some on-demand services.
I thought it had already hit, but
it may have. But that one's also high on the list.
Okay. All right, Rob, what have you got?
Well, I'm gonna say three words that are gonna scare you first. I have a friend of mine who posted me something online, and I'm waiting for the follow-up. No. Watchmen the musical. Apparently there's a Japanese avant-garde theater troupe that's trying to stage The Watchmen as a musical. Hello?
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing to me that Goat Testicles did. Sorry.
Moving onward, there's a couple things.
You guys are doing this on purpose.
No, I swear we're not. there's a really good movie out called In Bruges right now with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
We've been featuring that on Daily Kickspot.
Yeah, I was going to try to segue into that, but yeah, it's really, really... I'm going to try to segue, you know, the online stuff for our three readers and our three listeners. It coalesces.
Of course.
But yeah, it's really, really great, and people should see that. And then there's a band from Austin called Ghostland Observatory. They have a CD called Robotic Majestique, and it's kind of funky, so if you're like a fan of like The Rapture or some of the early Daft Punk, then that's pretty cool. The new Cat Power CD of all covers is pretty great, and it's great not having Tuffley around to screw this all up for me. And then Sons and Daughters, who are from Scotland, this band, they're pretty great. They have a song, an album called This Gift, which is pretty great. And then this weird thing that came in the mail called BIP, it's B-I with and then three P's, French Synth New Wave, 1979 to 1985. It's really, really odd, but it's really, really good. So all of that is just as good as Jumper is awful. So.
Wow, that's great. I lost track of how many titles that you had to cite in order to offset the awfulness of Jumper.
Three CDs. Oh, four CDs.
See, that's another thing. Even the awesomeness of Sonny Al Jackson cannot overcome Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, but when he starts looking like the guy from General Public, you know, that 80s band, then it's over.
Who, Sam Jackson?
Yeah, he looks like Ranking Roger. He's got the little frosted afro thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I heard the reviewer on NPR describe it as, like, a fungal condition.
That's awesome.
What, the film?
No, the stuff on his head.
Oh,
head.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, fine.
Goes great with goat testicles.
Yeah.
Fungal condition.
Goat testicles in the fungal condition.
It's the side dish.
A new jazz quartet coming out. That's my pick for this week, is that new jazz album, Unbelievable Fusion. It just fucking rocks ass. Oh my God, it hurts my soul. All right. So I was going to throw out one pick, but then I realized that it hasn't streeted yet, so I won't tease you people with it. Instead, I'll go to something that is going to be... We mentioned War with Jason Statham, so I'm going to go with something coming out from Lionsgate, which I had never heard of before until it showed up, and it is a film with... get this, Jason Statham, Ryan Phillippe, I guess it is, or I think that's how you pronounce his last name, you know me and names, and Wesley Snipes, and it's called Chaos.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Are you familiar with the film?
Passingly familiar with a couple of trailers I've seen recently.
Yeah.
Yes. It seems like it could be, I mean, Jason Statham makes everything good, especially when he's armed, and I know he's armed, so... I think that's probably worth at least a rental, if not adverse video type of fun. It's just mindless action. So I'm going to go with that, and then for the next show, I'll have something a bit more mindful in the action department. which sums up the show when we've got Jazz Fusion and Goat Testicles mentioned in the same sentence. So, okay. I think, I don't know where we can go from there, so we might as well work on signing off. Does anyone have anything else they want to share?
Any
I
Oscar
think
stuff?
Goat Testicles says it all.
Yeah.
Any Oscar prediction stuff? You still think that the Coens are going to snare everything?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I was looking over at the Oscar guy's site because he generally does good predictions, and he had Into the Wild down as winning Best Picture, which I'm afraid that I know very little to nothing about. So,
What's the site again?
OscarGuy.com. He does
Oscar Guy.
Oscar Guy.
Okay. Yes.
He's been doing predictions for forever and a weekend. So, he had that down as the winner. Now I don't, like I said, I don't know anything about it. I have not seen it. I was aware of it, but that's about all. I still think Daniel Day-Lewis is going to take Best Actor. We'd already talked about Best Supporting, so I think that's a little bit up in the air, but. You know, I don't know. There's just a, you know, we discussed this before. There's a lot of very talented things, you know, very good films that are nominated for once. So it's kind of odd because I honestly haven't cared for the longest time. I don't, you know, care enough to watch at this point, but I am, you know, the past few years I've just basically, oh, that's right, the Oscars were this last weekend. Who won, you know? So we'll see. But anyway, so does anyone have anything else? Before we let, by now our three listeners have driven to work and back because it's long.
Probably one or two of them having an accident after hearing.
Yeah, probably. I mean, goat testicles could make anybody run into an embankment. I'm just saying. But anyway, so all right. Well, we will sign off for this weekend justice. We will see everyone again or hear from you again. Actually, you'll hear from us again, and then you can obviously send. You can send your. Reactions, questions, recriminations, and Jack Thompson can contact us via info@needcoffee.com.
Bring it, bitch.
And on that
yeah,
note...
Yeah, Doc will pound you.
And on that note right there, we will sign off until next time. Bye. And we're done.
Awesome. Saying stupid shit. Juvenilia.
Wow.